Amen. Well, you know, today is a wonderful day. Today would have been my grandfather's 108th birthday today. He was born. Amen. You can give him a hand. That's fine. He's in heaven. He can hear the hand, I guess. You know, he was born August the 20th, 1917. You know, and although he went to be with the Lord over 20 years ago, there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't think about something that he told me, you know, or something that I learned from him and his ministry. And, you know, I got the pleasure to travel with him pretty much all my life. But the last, you know, number of years, I was his crusade director, and we traveled around the United States and Canada, you know, and bringing the message of faith to a lost and dying and hurting world. Of course, we, you know, you can read about him, and I actually decided today to look up, see what the internet says about him. You know, it says he was the father of the modern day faith movement. You know, many people consider him that. But of course, the biggest thing is in May of 1950, the Lord told him to go teach my people faith. You know, and he did that the best he could. But he would say, you know, I'm just one man. How am I going to get this message of faith to this entire world? And the Lord told them, first of all, get on the radio. He got on the radio and then put everything in book and audio form. He said tape form, but it's audio now because, you know, no one knows what a cassette tape is anymore. He did that. But he said, you know, that's not enough. How am I still going to reach this world? And that's how Raymond Bible Training Center at the time, now college now, began. For some of you who happen to be an incoming first-year student, it began because my grandfather says, I need to teach others to be able to teach, to take this message of faith to his lost and dying and hurting world. You know, now 50-something years later, we have, 309, 310? I don't know. What is our number? 300 and how many campuses we have? 313, I think. I don't know. You know, Brazil's always open another one every time you turn around. But anyway, 313 campuses around the world teaching the message of faith. You know, we have the distinct privilege to continue on his legacy, to teach faith, not only me as a family, but us, you know, to teach the message of faith to a lost and dying, hurting world. So I was working on another message today, but I actually decided maybe to leave that for maybe Sunday. I don't know if I'm preaching on Sunday. So I did something kind of interesting. I told ChatGPT, I said, you know, it's my grandfather, Kenneth E. Hagin's 108th, would have been his 108th birthday. If he were here today to preach a message, what would he preach? All right, so that's what we're going to hear. All right, so, and I added a few things because ChatGPT didn't know those things. But anyway, it says this, honoring Kenneth E. Hagin's faith message. Today we pause to honor the life and ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin, who would have celebrated his 108th birthday today. He was not just a preacher of faith. He was a living example of faith in action. You know, that's what we all should be, a living example of faith in action. His message was clear, consistent, and uncompromising. God's word is true, and if you will dare to believe it, speak it, and act on it, you will see it come to pass. Faith is not an option for the believer. It's the way of life that God has called us to live. You know, we all know he has a statement. He says, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. You know, and that is so true. What does the Bible say? You know, if he was here today, and I can tell you many, many times, whenever I would ask him a spiritual question, he would always answer, what does the Bible say? So I don't have to worry about what he would say, because I know exactly what he would say if I would ask him a spiritual question. He would ask me what the Bible says, and he would expect me to tell him what the Bible says. You know, and I would give him a scripture. Then he would say, yeah, that's correct, and he would give me three more. All right? And then he'd tell a story. And that's what he did. You know, I mean, that's how he preached. That's how he talked. You know, it is interesting for some of you. I know that many of you know Brother Hagin as a great spiritual man, and he is, and he was. You know, but he also loved sports, and you know, he would get so excited or sometimes so mad at the TV, you know, watching sports. He actually really loved baseball, and the other sport he loved, most of you might not like it, is boxing. He liked boxing. Of course, he was a big Dallas Cowboy fan. I was actually over at his house one time, and I actually, you know, he would always lay back in his recliner, sitting down. And I can't remember if he was happy or sad or mad or whatever, but it was a game. There was some game on, you know, and he got so emotional that he actually flipped backwards in the recliner. So I had to pick him up and fix him up. So, you know, that's something you probably wouldn't have ever got until you come here. So, you know, I don't know. You know, whenever you, you know, loved ones that have passed and, you know, have, like I said, a heavenly birthday, a lot of times you think about things that you experienced. You know, one of the things that as a little kid, I would go over his house and he had a Nerf basketball goal we would hang on a door, and then we would you know, shoot shots or whatever, and we play horse and you know, or just whatever, who can make the most shots. And he would always say, you know, well, it's 2-1 my favor. You know, I'm a little kid or whatever, so, you know, maybe, you know, I get ahead, you know, it's 5-3, and I would say it's my flavor, because I didn't say favor, I said flavor or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, time. So the first, well, actually it says this, it says Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. That was the first scripture that it presented. Interesting part about it is the first thing that ChatGPT said, or the scripture it gave, was not Mark 11. He said this, it says, point number one, if Brother Hagin was here, this was what he would talk about, the substance of faith. And it went to Hebrews 11:1. But I started thinking about that. If you don't know what faith is, then how can you even preach on faith? So according to what ChatGPT says, if Brother Hagin was here, he would start out talking about Hebrews 11:1, what faith is. That's what he would do according to, I mean, I don't know. This is supposed to be artificial intelligence. It's supposed to be pretty smart. I don't know if it is or not. You know, sometimes, you know, a computer's only as smart as it can really, as its programmers, I guess. Now, what is interesting, I will say this, that a couple months ago, I actually asked him, ChatGPT, about, you know, I said, I want to preach a message in the style of Craig W. Hagin, and it almost gave me the same scripture. So that was pretty interesting. But anyway, Hebrews 11:1, for those that you don't know, the New King James Version says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is now. When faith comes in, it's in your heart now. Hope is always, you know, faith is now and hope is future tense. ChatGPT didn't say that, but I've heard him preach that. Faith is now. Of course, the Bible says now faith is. So when is faith? It's now. When you have faith, it's here now. Now, what is faith? Faith is believing that you have something that you do not see. It's believing you have something you do not see. Now, hope is future tense. Now, what he would say that in Hebrews 11:1, God is saying that he's bringing the unseen realm of hope into the seen realm of reality, which is interesting. The New Living Translation says it this way. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, see, faith is our evidence. We don't need any evidence. See, a lot of people, they'll say, well, I believe it when I see it. No, faith is believing it before you see it. It's believing you have something even though you do not see it. Now, if you have to wait till you see it, it's not faith, it's a reality. See, faith, when you have faith, you act like you have it. Now, the people who are really good at faith are the ones that had imaginary friends as kids. If you could see something that nobody else could see, then you should be able to do it today. And if you can't do it today, then something happened when you grew up. Now, the deal is that when you have faith, it's yours. Now, see, a lot of people, they think they're in faith, but they're actually in hope. How many times have you heard someone say that, I am believing that I'm going to get my healing? Well, going to get is future tense. Hope is future tense. Faith is now. If I'm going to get something, then that's contrary to God's word. Because God's word says that by his stripes, I was healed, or we were healed. So if we've already been healed, so I'm not going to get my healing. I already have my healing according to God's word. And I don't know how many times he would say, you know, were or was is past tense. You have already been healed. But the way you receive it is through your faith. And before I get to what ChatGPT says about him, I also want to read the Amplified Classic Version, because it won't make sense if I don't. Amplified Classic Version says this: now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, according to ChatGPT, it says this: faith is not wishful thinking. It's not blind optimism. It's the assurance, the title deed of what we hope in God's word. Now, you know, the word title deed, I think about this way, is that when you have a car, then you have, they would call it a title. Usually the house, they call it a deed. You know, either way, it's a title deed. Now, the house belongs to you, or the car belongs to you, no matter. And I like to use a car because, you know, we have the car example, we have car keys. And it doesn't matter who has my car keys. If I was to give you my car keys, that's not giving you my car. Even if I tell you you can borrow my car for a while, you have the keys, but you don't own the car. All right? And so, if you were to take my keys, as I said, hey, you can borrow my car for a week. I'm not telling anyone you can, but let's just say I did. And I gave you the keys, and you took it for a week and decided, you know what? I like your car. I'm going to keep it because I have the keys. Well, see, I could go to the authorities down here, to the Broken Arrow Police Department, and said, somebody stole my car. And they were going to say, no, but I didn't steal it. You gave me the keys, but I didn't give you the title deed. I just gave you my keys. I want my car back. I own the car. See, the deal is when you have faith, you own it, even when you don't see it. You have the title. In fact, if some of you want to, you know, some people are visual learners. I need to get better about using the board behind me. Of course, I didn't know I'm going to preach this message until today. If you're a visual learner, maybe what you need to do is whenever you have what I call a faith project, maybe you need to write your own title deed. Write it down and hold it. Says, this is my answer right here. I don't have to see it. You are seeing it because you wrote it. All right. And you say, well, how can I do that? Because God said so. Because God says so, faith is having something before you see it. Now, we all know about the story of doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas says, once I see the nail prints in his hands, I'll believe. It wasn't good enough that everybody else, you know, has seen him. He wanted to see him for himself. But see, and that's how we are sometimes spiritually. We want to see it. But see, I don't know how many times he would say, you should act how you would act if you got your blessing already. Now, if somebody actually literally did come and give you keys to a new car, you'd probably be pretty excited about it. I mean, you know, not just give you the keys, but gave you the keys and the title. All right. They gave you a new car, or I could look like this, a new car, because that's how Price is Right did it. You know, so, you know, If you were to get a new car, you would be excited. You'd be jumping up and down. I mean, anytime someone wins a new car and the price is right, man, these people are jumping up and down. They're excited. Everybody's excited with them. I guarantee if you got a new car right now, that you might actually run a lap around this place, and it's a long lap. All right, you know, you think you're pretty excited. I mean, you would be extremely excited. And I'm sure that you would go home and write something on social media talking about how much God blessed you and, you know, and all the things like that. So the deal is, why don't you, whenever you're standing in faith? Why don't you get excited? You know, why don't you act like you would if you actually had it? Because you have it by faith. It's just that simple. You know, but a lot of times we don't act like that because we don't really believe that we have it. We don't believe we have it. But faith is now. Faith is having it before we see it. All right? You know, we don't have to wait till we see it to have faith. It goes on to say this, according to ChatGPT, faith is the bridge between the unseen promises of God and the seen reality of our lives. When the natural evidence is lacking, faith becomes our evidence. Faith says God's word is enough. Now that's a really kind of, is God's word enough for you? See, Brother Hagin always says, God said it, or he said the Bible says it, either way. He said, sometimes he'd say God says it, sometimes he'd say the Bible says it. God says it, I believe, and that settles it. So why isn't God's word enough for you? Are you so special that you need a special word from God? You need someone to call you out, Brother so-and-so, to call you out and give you a word? You know, see, the deal is, if we can't heed the words that we already have, then how are you going to heed the words that you don't have? We've already been given 66 books of words. You know, and do you realize that when Jesus was tempted, every answer he had for Satan wasn't that my dad told me so? You know what it was? It is written. It is written. It is written. See, he used the word when Satan tried to attack. So why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we use the word? You know, do we really believe something if we don't act like we have something whenever we have faith? I mean, you know, we have to believe it. Now it says this, Brother Hagin would remind us that faith works in the unseen realm long before it's manifest in the seen. When you stand on the word, even if circumstances scream the opposite, you have something stronger. You have the unchanging word of God. And that word is the anchor of your soul. Stand on the word. You know, I like what the Bible says. It says, having done all to stand, stand. It doesn't say to retreat. It says to keep standing, meaning I'm going to keep standing until I get it in reality. All right, I have it by faith, but I'm going to stand on God's word because if God says it, it's mine. See, God's word is good enough for me and it's good enough for you. I got to move faster. All right, number two, ChatGPT says that faith speaks and acts. Kenneth Hagin emphasized that faith must be released. How do we release faith? Through our words and our actions. And then it brings us to Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Doesn't say 22. 22 is my favorite verse, have faith in God. Anyways, Mark 11, 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, I can distinctly remember he would talk about speaking to your mountain. And the Bible says whoever, or he would always read the King James Version. That's why the Legacy Bible is the King James Version and not the New King James Version. If it was my Bible, it would be the New King James or the New Living or whatever. But he always read the,
the King James Version. And I remember, you know, he would talk about that here it talks about you saying three times more than it does you believing. What you say is very important. And if you want to get some more about that, you can get the little mini book called Words, because your words are very important. You can have whatever you say. Now, here some people have said that Mark 11:23 is only for the disciples because Jesus was talking to his disciples. But Jesus didn't say this is for you 12 and no more. He says it's for whoever or whosoever. And I remember he would always say, whosoever means me. And he had people say it, whosoever means me. That means I can speak to my mountain. I can speak. And it, you know, and so he'd always point out, he would say, for sure I say to you that whosoever or whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. So first of all, the first saying is you, whosoever, be removed and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe. So one time believing, one time speaking that those things that he says, and I always would get a laugh about that because he would always go like this on the middle finger, which is always kind of, you know, interesting, but this is what he would say. He would go, and then he would go like this. So as a kid, I'd laugh about that. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. All right. See, you get some insights that you know. Anyway, so that's the second time that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So three times it talks about you saying. So that means you got to open your mouth and speak. You know, some people are praying for something whenever the Bible says to say it. You know? Anyway, actually, it says right here that Brother Hagin says that faith is a speaking force. Faith declares healing when the body is sick. Faith declares provision when the wall is empty. Faith declares peace when the storm is raging. And faith not only speaks, it acts. We speak to our mountain. Now, this is me talking and not Brother Hagin, because see, the thing about it is that I will take the message that he preached and I'll expand it to, you know, because we got to understand, this generation is stupid. All right? And I don't mean they're stupid. They're really not stupid. They're very smart. But the deal is, you know, they need it broken down for them exactly. What it is. And so, you know, as I was, and actually I kind of got this here not too long ago, I started thinking about it. And I've heard obviously Mark 11:23-24 all my life because that was the scripture that Brother Hagin got off the deathbed with. But here's the thing, what I never actually considered, because some people say, well, how can you speak that because that's impossible? You know, I've heard that, you know, and of course my dad's favorite scripture is man's impossibility, God's possibility. All right, Luke 18:27. And so I started thinking about that. You know, the scripture that we use here in Mark 11:23-24, it's actually impossible for a mountain to be removed and thrown into the sea. Do you realize that's impossible? I mean, even with the technology we have in 2025, we couldn't do it. We can't take a literal mountain because even though that we use as a figurative mountain, Jesus is pointing to a literal mountain, the Mount of Olives. He said, you know, if you take that mountain and throw it into the sea, well, that's impossible. So Jesus actually showed us that you can speak to the impossible. Now, I have to point out, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. My faith isn't in me that I'm going to move the mountain. See, you know, I'm speaking, but I do believe that God's going to move my mountain. Now, do you believe it? You don't believe it. That's up to you. So, you know, when people say, well, Craig, that's impossible, I'm like, yep, it is. Well, how's that going to work? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me to figure out how God's going to move my mountain. It tells me to speak to it. It doesn't tell me to move it. It doesn't tell me to get out some kind of equipment to figure it out. It says speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. Now, while I'm speaking, I do believe. And I tell you, when there's something, what I call a faith project, I speak it all the time. You know, I've talked about a number of times about, you know, my kidneys. I would speak on it every morning when I woke up, every night before I go to bed. Every time I prayed, even if I prayed for my food, I would say, thank you, Father, my kidneys are normal. Every time I went pee, I would say, thank you, Father, my kidneys are normal. I kept speaking. And I'm telling you, something, you know, even when the numbers weren't like they should be, you know, I'm having faith. I believe before I see it. Before I see it. Now, on that situation, that took about a 2-year period of time. You know what? Taking 2 years, speaking the word, watching my numbers decrease is a whole lot better than being on dialysis and having a kidney transplant. Because after I have, you know, conquered that mountain, I did look and see what the medical science says should have been happening, and that's what should have been happening. But instead, I'm completely normal. Well, I'm not sure if I'm completely normal because I'm kind of crazy, but anyway, my kidneys are completely normal. Let's just put it that way. All right, I got to move forward because I'm going to get to finish this message. It's all about Brother Hagin. So, all right. And then talking about acting, James 2:17 says, Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. If we truly believe, then our actions must line up with what we say. Faith shouts before the walls fall, just like Joshua and the Israelites at Jericho. You know, we shout before it falls down. Our mountain, we know the mountain's going to move. See, we're not going to doubt our mountain's going to move. We just keep speaking it. We speak everything into existence. Number three, standing firm in the face of trials. One of the greatest lessons Kenneth E. Hagin's life taught us was that faith is not just for the good times, it's for the hard times. He often shared how as a young boy with a deformed heart and incurable blood disease, he was given no hope by the doctors. But by faith in God's word, he rose from the deathbed and walked into his destiny. That testimony continues to inspire millions today. You know, I often heard him say, the doctor says that if his heart was completely normal, the blood disease alone would kill him. But you know what? He read God's word. Now think about this, and I think about this because sometimes whenever you hear a testimony from someone, a great man of faith, a great preacher, you think about 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old Brother Hagin. You don't think about 16-year-old Brother Hagin that had never read a book on faith, that had only gone to a few sermons at a Baptist preacher who didn't have a whole lot of faith. At least whenever he came to visit, you know, my grandfather talked to me. He said, be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. That's not faith. But he read the word. And by reading the word and acting on the word, Mark 11, 23 and 24, he walked off the deathbed. You know, if more of us would actually read the word and believe the word, it could be life-changing, not only to you, but to millions of people in the future. See, you know, I don't know how many times I've actually said this, you know, well, obviously, if he would have died, I wouldn't be here. Because, you know, obviously that's, you know, that's genetics. You know how many people have told me, well, if he would have died, I probably wouldn't be here either? That's because they wouldn't have learned the message of faith. You know, because one man read the Bible, it's literally changed millions of people around the world. You know, I was just over in Nigeria, and to hear the testimonies of people that have received what they have based upon, I mean, I don't know how many people, well, it's all because of your grandfather's books. It's all because of your grandfather's books. I just talked to someone just yesterday, and they said, you know, when I got saved, the first book I read was a believer's authority. And they said it literally changed my life. So this happens to be someone who was a minister and got many people saved. And not only just changed her life, because it was a female, but it changed countless people's lives. Let God's word change your life. Now, the scripture that it actually gave was James chapter 1, verse number 2, 3, and 4. James 1, 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." I like the New Living. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I don't know how many times he would say, it doesn't say you're going to be joyful. It says you need to act joyful in the tough times. Just act joyful. Consider an opportunity to be joyful. Why are we joyful? Because we know Jesus. We know the greater one's on the inside. But it goes on to what ChatGPT pointed out was James 1, 3, and 4. I'm reading from the New King James. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Faith is not fragile. It's resilient. All right. Trials do not destroy faith. They refine it. And when we hold fast to God's promises, we come out stronger, wiser, and more equipped to help others. Faith stands firm until the answer comes. You know, yeah, we have plenty of opportunities to believe God, to trust God. You know what? But even in the middle of fire, we're going to make it. We're going to get through it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know, the conclusion here, it says this: walking in the footsteps of faith. As we celebrate the 108th birthday of Kenneth E. Hagin, let us not only remember his life, but also continue his legacy. The greatest honor we can give to a man of faith is to live out the message he preached. Many people want to know, well, how can I honor Brother Hagin? Well, continue to make sure this ministry continues to preach the message. But not only that, you continue to preach the message of faith. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Well, see, we talked about living by faith. When you live by faith, you're a living example. You preach by your actions. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." All right. Like I said, I've skipped around a little bit and not gone as in depth if I could. But of course, here's the thing. You know, how many messages of faith on faith did Brother Hagin preach? So we can't cover everything he ever said on the subject of faith in an hour of power. All right. All right. But what I do want to remind you of is Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2. It says this: "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Brother Hagin is up there today in the grandstands watching us run our race. So we need to make sure that we run the race that we've been taught. Don't get away from the message that we've been taught. You know, I'm going to say this. I don't think I've ever said this before. I actually was in Dallas one time. I've been to Dallas a lot of times. We're from Dallas originally. But I happened to be in Dallas, and one of my friends, a Facebook friend, they are a Raymer graduate, but I didn't really know them. They knew I was in Dallas, and they asked me to if I would come and pray for a certain minister, and you know, they actually were working for that minister, and I did. And so while I was there, this guy, he told me, he goes, "I never thought I would ever have a chance to tell you." You know, because he goes, I don't know, I mean, because I didn't even know this person. I really didn't know them. They graduated from Raymond when I was a kid, all right? So I didn't really know them. And I'm Facebook friends with people, but you know what? I have lots of Facebook friends, 10,000 Facebook friends, all right? I don't know all my Facebook friends. And if I'm friends with people who might have questionable character or whatever, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, if you follow me, I follow you back a lot of times on some other things. And sometimes I unfollow people. I'm like, I don't know if I should follow that person or not. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing, you know. And that's on a Facebook because I don't really look at it. But, you know, sometimes on Instagram, I'm like, huh, that was interesting. Maybe I shouldn't follow that person. But anyway, that's, you know, we're all probably thinking. And then sometimes I follow people because I'm actually friends with them. I don't think they should post some of the things they do, but I'm really friends with them, and I'm not going to unfollow them, just like Jesus won't unfollow somebody when they're not living the lifestyle that they should live. You know, I mean, I'm going to unfollow, you know, but anyway, that's a whole other story. But the story I want to tell you, because we're at 8:02, is this guy said, Craig, I had a dream about you. And your grandfather, we're at a baseball stadium. We're at a baseball stadium, and your grandfather's sitting in the bleachers. And he says, and this, I mean, when he told me this, I'm probably like 35, 36. And I don't know if I've ever shared this actually ever to anybody. But anyway, he said that you came up to bat. And he said, he kept on jumping. He said, your grandfather jumped up. I said, that's my boy. That's my boy. And then he said, you know, said I hit a home run. And he jumped up and shouted, that's my boy. That's my boy. You know, sometimes that gets me through life. Knowing that my grandfather's up in heaven, not just my, you know, not just Brother Hagin, but also Brother Tipton, other grandfather, my grandmother's as well. You know, and, you know, one of the last things my grandfather told me, I didn't know he was going to pass a few weeks later. He came in my office, and at that time I was going through some tough times in life, let's just put it that way, without going to a lot of things. And he told me he was proud of me and told me some other things. And, you know, and I know he's proud of me. And, you know, this person, they didn't know if they'd ever see me to give me that. But, you know, but he's not just shouting for me. He's shouting for all of you. I don't know how many times, you know, especially Raymond graduates, he would always say, you know, I don't care who they are. If they're a Raymond graduate, you know, they're my kids. They're my kids. You know, and, you know, you know, obviously, he lived in a different time and age, and I don't want to be sound racist, but he said, you know, it didn't matter red, yellow, black, or white. They're all my kids. You know, they're all my kids. And he was so proud of the Raymond graduates and what Raymond graduates are doing. But, you know, not just, you know, that, but, you know, other people got a hold of the message that he preached and, you know, and preached the message. I mean, there are a number of other ministers that are not Raymond graduates that that he's proud of, that he's been a father to. You know, but one of the best things we can do is continue the legacy that he has to go teach my people faith, to bring hope, help, and healing to a lost and dying and hurting world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for the life of Kenneth E. Hagin, my grandfather. Father God, we thank you for all the messages that he taught us and you know, not only to teach us, but to live an example of faith before us. Father God, help us to be able to follow that example, to do what we need to do. Help us not get away from that message so we can bring faith to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for that if someone, you know, is going through any kind of struggles or trials, Father God, we thank you that you're just helping them. Help them to realize, you know what? It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Speak things into existence that don't exist. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your situation. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it with God's help. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. At this time, the team is coming here. If you need prayer for anything, whether it be healing, whatever you need prayer for, we have a group of individuals. If you're a man, you can go see the men. If you're a woman, go see the women. You know, and if you need prayer for salvation, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for anything, they're here to pray with you. That's what they're here for. That's what they volunteer to do, to be a prayer partner with you. So maybe you're coming, you're struggling, you're going through a tough time. And if you happen to be a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you. We would like you to go with our connection team just for a few moments, and we have a gift for you at the North Lobby, and we want to make sure that you get that gift. Continue to pray for the Crusade team there, as they're there in Ohio. Pray for strength. And like I said, Dad's almost 86 years old, and he does well. But you know, sometimes you know, he's already done. He goes. He's even told me. He says, "Craig, I get tired than I used to be." Outward man, gets tired sometimes. And so pray for strength, amen. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you here Sunday morning, amen. Have a great day.